and we are not God. Amen. In John chapter 5, at the end of the chapter, we have what many Bible commentators have called the fourfold witness of Jesus. If you look at verses 33 through 35, and remember, the Gospel of John was written by the Holy Spirit of God through John about 30 years after the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and it was primarily to prove that Jesus was God. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, He still is God. You see, sometimes there will be very moral people that will come to your doorstep, and they will be wearing a white shirt and a black tie, and some ladies will be wearing very long skirts or dresses, and they will come to your door, and they are called the Jehovah's Witnesses. The primary error, and the reason why, by the way, if you don't know your Bible, I'd recommend not answering the door. But the primary reason why, the primary doctrinal ill of the Jehovah's Witnesses is they do not believe that Jesus is God. You see, ladies and gentlemen, John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And down in verse number 14, God clears it up who He's talking about. Who is that person that's called the Word? In verse number 14 of John chapter 1, the Bible says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Back in Revelation, at the end of Revelation in 19, when it talks about the Lord returning, it says He rides on a white horse and His name is called the Word of God. You see, the Word is Jesus, and Jesus existed long before there was anything. And He goes on in chapter 5 to begin to lay this out. In verse 33 through 35, if you want to look at it briefly there, of John chapter number 5, He talks about the witness of John the Baptist. And it says there, "Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth." Verse 35, "He was a burning and shining light." And you remember, what was John's message? "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And then, not only in chapter 5 do you have the witness of Christ's deity from John the Baptist, but look at verse number 36. It says, "But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness to me." Jesus' works were His witness. They'd never seen somebody like Jesus. Never had a man that had been born blind receive sight the same day he met Jesus. Never had a man walked on the water. The miracle they just saw, we'll talk about it in just a little bit. How can you possibly feed 20,000 people with five little loaves and two fishes? I'll tell you what, because when you involve God in the process, anything is possible. Amen. So we have the witness of John the Baptist, the witness of Christ's works. Verse 37, it says, "And the Father Himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me." You say, when did that happen? At Jesus' baptism. Remember what happened? The Bible says that Jesus was being baptized of John, and we saw the Holy Spirit as a dove descending upon Him, and we heard a voice from heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And the last witness, praise God for this one, is the witness of the Scriptures. The witness of the Scriptures. Ladies and gentlemen, this Bible that you and I love declares that Jesus is the Son of God. That He is God. Verse 39 says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me." And then He said to those Pharisees, "Ye will not come unto me that ye might have life." We turn over into chapter 6 and we see the feeding of the 5,000 in the first 14 verses. Incredible miracle. By the way, the only miracle you will find in all four Gospels. The only one of them. All of other Jesus' other miracles, you find one in the book of Mark, and sometimes it's also in Matthew, but this is the only one that's in all four Gospels. And then you see man's response to the miracle in verse 15. Look at it, please, in your Bibles. It says, "When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force and make him a king, he departed unto again to a mountain himself alone." Why did they want to make him a king? I'll tell you why. The same reason people want a king today, to meet their material and physical needs. To meet their material and physical needs. Such sentiment, by the way, has brought tyrannical dictators to power, and it's the attitude that will launch the Antichrist to power one day. Just take care of us. Just take... By the way, don't we hear that today? We just want somebody to take care of us. Hey, listen, it's our job before God to take care of ourselves, and He will take care of us. But He wasn't ready to be the king yet. It wasn't on His timetable. Then we look further down. We see the disciples cross Galilee, and I don't have time to develop it. I wish you'd look at verses 16 through 21 on your own time. You see the storm that comes. You see human effort. You see their fear. You hear Jesus' voice. You see the peace that comes over them, how they receive Jesus into the boat. And then Jesus begins a long discourse on what is many have called the Sermon of the Bread of Life. The Sermon of the Bread of Life. The people cross over to Galilee. And look at verse 26. There's a reason why the people cross over to Galilee. It wasn't to hear His wonderful words. It wasn't to hear His wonderful words. It was very simple, because the Bible says, "Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves." Sad, but true. Many today want and are content with the byproducts of Christianity. See, that's America that we live in. We live in founders 200 years ago that loved God and loved the Bible and founded this country on religious freedom. Now, praise God, we believe that, Brother Kelly, that our neighbor has the right to believe whatever he wants. That's up to him, between him and his God. But I'll tell you what, that belief doesn't change the fact that we were a nation founded upon God. Amen? Amen? Let me just be more specific. Founded upon the God of the Bible. Amen. Amen? That's where we were founded. But I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if we're not careful, we enjoy the byproducts more than the blesser. You see, we want moral neighbors. We like the fact that a church will have children's ministry and choir. I want to tell you, the most important part of the church is whether they lift up Jesus. Whether He is the center of attention. The most important part. He has to be. And this, He said, "Listen, you're only here because I fed you." Sad, but true. So then Jesus, praise God for verse 27. He teaches on priorities. Look, if you would, it says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life." You know what? Don't spend your life on things that are going to burn up one day. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. People ask me about giving to missions, and the tithe is the Lord's. Listen, Christianity 101. The tithe is the Lord's. That belongs to God. People will ask, when they ask you about your missions giving, what, you know, you could be putting that into a 401k or a 403b, or you could be putting it into a retirement savings. I am. Because it's going to pay dividends for all eternity. How many retirement plans can you get that do that? Amen. He teaches on priorities. Then He answers their question in verse 28. It says, they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus gives this wonderful answer. Jesus answered them and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. What's the requirement to get to heaven? Believe. But pastor, shouldn't I do good things? Absolutely. But not to get into heaven. Because all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Isaiah 64:6 tells us. So he says here, believe. And then he contrasts in verse 30 through 59 the manna that the fathers received in the wilderness. And you remember that story from the Old Testament. Versus himself. And I think it's ironic in verse 30 and 31 that they ask him for a sign. And forgive me, sometimes my sarcasm just comes out when I read the Bible. And I think, Brother Meyer, you mean feeding 20,000 people, that wasn't enough of a sign for you? Was that not enough of a sign? I think it sure was. They asked him for a sign. And then Jesus instructs him in his superiority to the manna. Verses 32 through 40. He says there, verse 33, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life to the world. And that's what Jesus did. And by the way, we see the Jews' indignation at his claim there in verse 41 and 42. And then Jesus teaches the incredible doctrine in verses 43 through 59. He goes on to say that if you don't eat my flesh and drink of my blood, that you have no part in me. And this verse has been taken and perverted by so many. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we believe literally in the Bible. We believe the literal Bible and all God's people said. But I'm going to tell you, there are times when God is clearly being symbolic. Clearly. Someone, I think it was David Cowper, that said, when the plain sense of Scripture makes common sense, seek no other sense. Listen, when Jesus said, I am the door, did he become a giant square of wood? No, he did not. When he said, I am the true vine, did he also all of a sudden cling to the side of a building? No. No. And ladies and gentlemen, he's saying this here in this text. You either take me or you don't. You either receive me or you don't. And the sad thing is, there's people right now in quote-unquote churches that will be receiving something on their tongue and drinking something and thinking they're eating the body and blood of Jesus, and they're not. They're not. It's gone. It's a symbol of what he did for us. Receive me or don't. In verse number 60, I want you to notice, and that was all introduction. I promise we won't take any longer than we normally do here, but I want you to see something. Verse number 60 says, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? And then in verse 66, look at it with me. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. In verse 67, Jesus asks a question that I want to ask you today. Will ye also go away? Will ye also go away? You say, but pastor, we're in church this morning. Amen, and I believe you, and I agree with you 100%. Praise God, you're in church on the Lord's Day, and all God's people said. But I want to tell you something. People go away. People fall away. People, as this text says in verse number 66, it says, from that time, many of his disciples... Okay? Not the Jews, not the unbelievers. Many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. I want to give you 10 reasons this morning why people go away. Why people fall away. Why people get away from God. And by the way, it doesn't happen overnight. Somebody said, I fall into sin. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But most of the time, we slide into sin. 10 reasons. Let me give them to you this. Why do people go away? Why does a disciple go away? For number one, a person fails to grow. Why do people leave church? A person fails to grow. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter number 1 in verses 5 through 8, it goes through a laundry list there in that text. It tells us about Christian growth. In verse number 4 of chapter 1, it tells us that we are given exceeding precious promises that we might be partakers of the divine nature. And we've said this, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're lost. You're not in the family of God, but you can be today. You can be saved today because of the Word of God and its power. It says, we're given exceeding great and precious promises that we might be partakers of the divine nature. And then in verse 5, it says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. And we can stop right there. Listen, most folks that are in church for a little while and then gone is because they failed to grow. They didn't add to their faith. They're still saved, by the way. Don't dare question their salvation. If they meant business with God, God meant business with them. And whether they ever keep their agreements or not, God is obligated to keep His. But they fail to grow. And it tells us how to grow here. Add to your faith, virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Love. Amen. God's saying, listen, if you want to finish the race, and I don't know about you, but I don't want to walk away from Jesus. He's done so much for me. Amen. If you want to finish the race, you have to look at one of the reasons people don't finish is they fail to grow. And listen, how do you grow? How do you grow? Amen. Eat. Amen. Eat. Eat. Allow the water and the light of the Word of God to shine. Get around God's people. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But why do people go away? A person, number one, fails to grow. Number two. A person forsakes their walk with God. When a person forsakes their walk, you know, the Bible says, and Enoch walked with God. Over on, we learn about how Noah walked with God. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, we don't walk with God like Adam in the cool of the day, but we sure walk with Him in His Word, don't we? We walk with Him. And can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos 3:3 says. See, a person forsakes their walk with God. And the Bible says this, as newborn babes, 1 Peter 2:2, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. You show me somebody that walks away from God, and I'll show you somebody at some point who stopped reading their Bible. Who stopped praying. Who stopped witnessing. Who stopped having a devotional life, making time for God. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. It's so important that each one of us, each day, walk with God. Walk with God. Why? By the way, number one reason is He wants to walk with you. That should be enough. Amen. But boy, we benefit so much from walking with Him. You know, the more we walk with Him, the more we become like Him. Amen? A person goes away, they fail to grow, they forsake their walk with God. I think so much of this third point. I think a person walks away because they forget how good God has been to them. The Bible says in that passage in Peter, after it talks about all the growth, verse 9 says, but he that lacketh these things, or that person that doesn't grow. 2 Peter 1:9 says, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Brother Sam, is an incredible verse. That we could actually forget that God had forgiven us. But it's true. And it's one of the reasons people walk away from God. Brother Holy, they forget how hot that hell really is that we got saved from. They forget it. They forget how God has blessed them with a wife or a husband or children or grandkids or fill in the blank, amen. They just forget how good God has been to them. I went to the kidney doctor this week. First time I'd been back to the kidney doctor, been to my own doctor about it. And when I had originally gone in, and some of you this will make sense to, others of you are like me. It didn't make any sense to me. But when I first went into the kidney doctor, my protein was at 1,300, which is incredibly high, ridiculously high. And of course, they told me, and I mentioned this to Brother Jeff, and I appreciated that Sunday school message, Brother Jeff. I really did. Drugs aren't always the answer. Amen. Amen to that. Amen. My doctor said to me, he said, I don't just medicate to medicate. He said, but the truth is, if you will alter your diet and you will get away from sodium, these blood pressure pills that I will give you will help this whole process. And praise God, I went to the kidney doctor, and it was down to 468 from 1,300. Amen. And I know that's God's people praying as well. But I'm going to tell you this. I walked out of there rejoicing in God's goodness. And I'll tell you, you go back to point number two. See, there's only two reasons that you can forget about God's goodness is either you fail to grow or you forsake your walk with God. Because if you're in this book every day, you sure can tell that He's good. And He's good to us. Amen. We forget God's goodness. We forsake a walk with God. We fail to grow. Number four, and so important. A person walks away or goes away because they forge their own reasoning. Verse 60 and 66 tell us that in this text. It says that many of his disciples said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And by the way, Brother Apple, it was a tough saying. It was something that was certainly difficult to be understood. I'd want an explanation on it. Then in verse 66, it says, for many from that time his disciples went back and walked with him no more. They forged their own reasoning. Listen, this is the antithesis of atheism. They read this book with a critical eye, and they can't accept that Jonah got swallowed by the whale. They can't accept that in 6 days God created the heavens and the earth. So they come up with their own reasoning. And I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. People walk away from God because they can't, as a simple, small child, accept what the Word of God says. You know what this is? This is rationalizing. And I'll tell you exactly what it is. It's pride. It's pride. We get to thinking, God is not being good. God's not being fair. I know better than God. No, you don't. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, for correction in righteousness. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, forge your own reasoning. It moves people away. When they forge their own reasoning, believe God. Believe what God said. Amen. Believe what God said. Make it your anchor. Number five, fails to grow, forsakes their walk with God, forgets God's goodness, forges their own reasoning. Number five, the person that goes away follows Satan's suggestions. Follows Satan's suggestions. 1 Timothy 4:1, and never is there a more appropriate verse than in the day we live in. Bible says in the last times, many shall walk away. And then it says this, that they'll be products of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Many shall depart from the faith. See, well, what do you mean? I mean, the fact is, ladies and gentlemen, we walk in the flesh, but we war not after the flesh. For there are principalities and powers and the spirits of wickedness in high places. And they are very, very suggestive. And I just have a few, and I got to throw them at you this morning. The first of Satan's suggestions that he uses is discouragement. He gets us discouraged, doesn't he? How many of you ever experienced discouragement? Say amen this morning. Amen. He gets us into discouragement. And discouragement leads to disgruntlement. We're not just discouraged now, we're disgruntled that we've been done wrong. That we've been unjustly dealt with. And then that leads to discontentment. Discontent. And the next thing you know, we're discontented with everything and everybody. And then it's amazing how that leads to doubt. And doubt leads to despair. And despair leads us to defilement. And then we feel like we can't come back. Well, I've messed my life up so bad. You can always come back to Jesus. Amen. Always. We follow Satan's suggestions. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget and read over and over the passage in Genesis chapter 3. He is still more subtle than any beast of the field which God hath made. He still is. Remember that. We follow Satan's suggestions. Number 6. Why do people go away? A person forms ungodly affections. Forms ungodly affections. The Bible tells us in 1 John 2:15 and 16 to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You'd be surprised how many people that leave God over a hard saying, the TV becomes their God. Their music becomes their God. And their music is not in any way pleasing to God. And the television programs they're watching are not in any way pleasing to God. They're just forming ungodly affections. May I remind each one of us that we are to live holy and separate and sanctified lives, both in church and at home. Amen. We're to be separate. God said, I have severed you from other people. Ye shall be mine. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Number 7. And it's amazing how these things, they all build one upon each other. Fail to grow, forsakes their walk with God, forgets God's goodness, forges their own reason, follows Satan's suggestions, form ungodly affections. Number 7, they fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Ladies and gentlemen, don't ever forget. Don't ever think because you're a Christian that you got the flesh figured out. Because you don't. And neither do I. The flesh will do what it wants to do unless we keep it in check. Amen. Listen, it'll always betray you if it's given opportunity. And that's why Paul said, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That person that goes away, the next thing you know, Brother Taverney, is they start to fulfill the lusts of their flesh. They start doing things that they absolutely know that the Bible is against. But Miss Carol Ann, it's because they forsook their walk with God. It's because they forgot how good God had been to them. And Satan is a master at making walls that box us in. We feel like there's no escape. By the way, with Jesus, there's always an escape. There's always an escape. Number 8, they find excuses to miss church. They find excuses. I preached on that the whole service last week. I will not do it again. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, and consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Whatever, listen, if it's not work or an emergency, ladies and gentlemen, we can make an excuse for missing just about anything. Well, my family came in today, and I think, listen, just invite them to church. They'll be welcome here. Amen. And I just fill in the blank. I preached on it last week. I won't do it again. But I'll tell you, it's somebody that's walking away from God. They find excuses to miss church. Well, there's a bunch of hypocrites there. Well, there's a bunch of hypocrites at Myers. Doesn't keep you from there. Amen. Why is it that only the church is the hotbed for hypocrisy? Hey, you know what? We're all hypocrites, but we're trying to serve the Savior. Amen. We're trying to walk with Him. We're trying to minimize that hypocrisy in our lives. So just come and you can join us and you'd be welcome because your hypocrisy is probably just as good as ours. Amen. They find excuses to miss church. Listen, just put it on the schedule Wednesday night. Just put Sunday night on the schedule. Amen. Just say, bless God, I'm going to be there. Me and my family, I in devotions last week with my children, I said I was doing Joshua 24:15. And I said, now Eric and Lukey, Daddy's never going to ask your permission if we're going to church or not. Because as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Not, well, Mrs. Joshua, do you think it's okay? Mm-mm. No, it's in the schedule. We're going to be in church. Be around God's people, amen? Because we talked about it. You'll get encouraged. You'll get blessed. You'll get the Word of God, all those things. But they find excuses to miss church. Boy, here's a big one, number 9. Fails to grow, forsakes their walk with God, forgets God's goodness, forges their own reason, follows Satan's suggestion, form ungodly affection, fulfills the lust of the flesh, finds excuses to miss church. Number 9, faults everybody but themselves. What did Adam do? The woman thou gavest me. And by the way, fellas, let's not repeat that excuse. Come on now, amen. And then, of course, we remember Aaron. When Aaron commanded the golden calf to be made, Moses said, why did you do this? He said, well, it was the people. No, it wasn't. Think about King Saul. When God had told him exactly what to do with the Amalekites and he didn't do it. He told him to get rid of everything, all of them, all their sheep. And he came with his big smile and said, I've performed the commandment of the Lord. In 1 Samuel 15, and good old Samuel, you got to love Prophet Samuel. He says, well, what's this bleating of the sheep I hear over there? If you've done, oh, well, let me tell you, I kept the best for the Lord. And he said, that's not what I told you to do. And what did he say? Well, it wasn't me, it was the people. We all need to come to the place like David did right in front of old Samuel. When old Samuel with his bony finger pointed it out and said, thou art the man. Yeah. We all need to get to that point. When we mess up, fess up. Amen? When we mess up, fess up and just say, you know what, I'm not going to fault everybody that everybody else is involved. I'm going to point the blame where it belongs, and that's with me. Faulted everybody but themselves. Lastly today, and I think of this, and this is probably the saddest of all of people that walk away from God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. Please allow me to read this verse to you. They fake no more. They fake no more. 1 John 2:19 says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. You see, there's a lot of people that walk away from Jesus because they're simply not saved. They're just simply not saved. They put on a show. They had an outward profession, but they never had an inward possession. And by the way, please don't get... Sometimes people get so nervous when you say something like that. Listen to me and listen well. When you said to Jesus, I believe, I take you as my Savior, He meant it. Okay? But there are some people that never did that. They never did that. And I'm not saying everybody's experience is the same. Some people cry. Some people don't. Some people receive it. You know, some people are just more emotional than others. And some people are more feelings driven and all that kind of stuff. Listen, just believe the Word of God. Amen. If you ask Jesus to save you, He said He would. There's some people that aren't. I appreciate people in our church, even people here this morning, that said later in life, I think of Miss Brenda Easterling. Every time I think about this, I think of you, Miss Brenda. Came in my office and said, I've gone to church my whole life, and I cannot remember a time when I asked Jesus to save me, and I don't want to go to hell on a technicality, she said. So she bowed her head in my office and trusted Christ. Praise God, amen. I agree 100%. But there's some people, they can't fake it anymore. It just comes out that they're truly not saved. I think of this in this day and age that we live in. the Epistle of Jude, which we studied several years ago. We studied it. It talks about those that creep in unawares. And they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. And I know it's a big word. It means license to do whatever you want. And if you think that the grace of God is license to do whatever you want, you got another thing coming. You got another thing coming. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. These are they that are sensual, that have not the Spirit, the Bible says. So what's the application this morning? Well, the application is really, don't go away. Don't go away. And I praise God for Peter, and I love the Apostle Peter. I love many times the things that he says. He's proof positive that God does have a sense of humor, amen. And because you look at some of the things that Peter says, this is one of the great statements he ever makes in the Scriptures. Look at it in verse number 68. Then said Peter, or then Simon Peter answered him. Remember, he had asked the question, will he also go away? And I don't know what his tone was. I don't know what his diction was. I don't know. Maybe he had a tear in his eye. Maybe he had a quiver in his lip. But Peter said this, Lord, to whom shall we go? You've touched our lives. You've called us out. You've done incredible things that nobody else could do. How could we ever go to anybody besides you? Then he says this, Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are, boy, you ought to mark that next word, and are sure. And are sure. What a great verse. That thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The application is simply this, ladies and gentlemen. There is no other. There is no other. Buddha's dead. Muhammad's dead. Atheism has nothing anyway. Humanism, listen, it's all going to be manna. You know what happened to the ones in the wilderness that ate the manna? They died. They're done. But those that receive Christ, those that walk with Christ, will not only receive eternal life, but eternal rewards from Him. You know what my challenge to you is today? Don't go away. Don't go away. Just keep walking with Jesus. When you don't understand Him, keep walking with Him. When the storm is raging, keep walking with Him. By the way, He's the one that can walk on the water and calm the storm. Keep walking with Him. Will He also go away? You know what my answer is? No. Let's not go away. Thou hast the words of eternal life. To whom shall we go? Father, we love You. Thank You for Your blessings.